You're listening to Talk of the Town with host Juke Van Os. You may email Juke at juke.vanos@whtc.com or call now 395-1450.
Welcome again to Holland's hometown station, WHTC 1450. I have with me now as my guest, the 89th District State Representative, Amanda Price. We have a little bit in common from 2011 and 2012. I was caucus chair of the Republican Party in the House, and she was my assistant caucus chair. So I'd like to welcome Amanda.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
And we have a list of things she'd like to talk about today. A lot of things going on in the state government. One of the things you said you'd like to talk about is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yep. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we passed a resolution last week in the House declaring so. House members will hopefully wear pink tomorrow in recognition of that. But why that's important.
Is that guys too got to wear
guys
pink?
Guys too.
I don't think I'd fit in with that. But go ahead.
But why it's important to me is that I'm a breast cancer survivor. My mother and my grandmother both had breast cancer, both died before they were 50 of breast cancer. And I was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was 44. So it's, obviously a family issue, but it's also a huge issue for women. It's the second leading cause of death in women. And I think I've got some stats here. Each year, 220,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. So I bring this up as a highlight because I just encourage everyone, women and men, to do breast self-exams. 6% of men, I think, have an incidence of breast cancer. And if diagnosed early, it can be avoided and treated very effectively.
Very good. I just like to know, let you know, that my sister died of breast cancer at 52. And I ended up raising her child, 10-year-old, and she now calls me dad, obviously. She's married now and got 4 kids. But that's good. Keep that in your awareness, if you would, folks. Another issue you said you'd like to talk about is the federal government shutdown and effect on Michigan.
Right.
What effects are we talking about in the state of Michigan?
Right now we're seeing the Treasury or our budget directors had some comments on it last week, and we've had a somewhat minimal effect at this point. We've got about $18 million a day that comes from the feds that is not going to be passed through. But immediately, I think it will affect some of our programs like the TANF dollars and the WIC program, maybe the Head Start programs.
Isn't it true that most of those are all going to be continued, that funding will continue to come?
I think especially in the WIC program and the TANF, and you may know more of this than I, we had a pot of money set aside, and we're at the bottom of the pot after about 2 weeks.
Okay, we have a caller. Sean from Holland, you're on? Sharon from Holland, you're on.
Yeah, I wanted to know from Amanda what the latest on early childhood educational program is happening at the state level.
Oh, well, thank you very much. This is a particular interest of mine. The governor earlier this year proposed that we put about $65 million into the Great Start Readiness Program, and that would be the early childhood 4-year-old programs to get more of those young kids ready for kindergarten. And so what I'm happy to report is that all of those slots for that $65 million have been filled, which was a little bit of a worry at points because that's several thousand new children into preschool, but they've all been filled, and all of those programs are quality rated. There's a quality rating system for early childhood and 5 stars, and all those children are in 3 stars and above programming. So, and why that's important, I think, is because we're seeing that kindergarten readiness is a great predictor for how kids will be doing the rest of their school years. And so it's important that those kids know colors, numbers, letters, able to be social, and function in a classroom setting.
Okay. I have a question for you, Amanda. We talked about this earlier with Representative Hooker when he was on. I'm just kind of hitting you out of the blue here, I suppose. But recently we just passed the Medicaid expansion. Do you have any idea what the cost is to that? How many more people will be on it? And the question is, does this put us into further debt? And do the feds have the money to really cover this for the state?
Well, first of all, it's Medicaid expansion was probably one of the hardest votes I've ever taken. It does look like, and the estimates initially were about 330,000 more folks on that Medicaid program. And this looks, it is a program for the working poor. So next year when the program goes into effect in Michigan, if you're earning $15,500, you will qualify for this program. About $7, $7.50 per hour.
And this is 133% is what they raised it to of the poverty level.
Right.
Why do they have a poverty level if they're going to raise it to 133% of the poverty level?
I don't know. That's just the cutoff mechanism, I think, the state had put in place.
Okay. That's you voted for it?
I did.
And Representative Hooker was here a minute. I think he voted against it. And I have to say, you know, where I would be on this one.
I know
if
where
I were there,
would
I
be.
Would vote no on this issue. Just because I know that the entitlement programs are nationwide and statewide are just eating up our budget. And I used to chair Department of Human Services, so I know about TANF. I know about the abuse of the bridge cards. In fact, when I was on that, we kicked off 30,000 kids off the bridge cards because they were abusing that $200 a month. They weren't poor,
right.
Yet they were using the bridge cards.
And those are great reforms. And one of the reasons I voted for it is because the bill puts so many reforms. So it has people having healthy behaviors. They have to contribute. They have to have health savings accounts. And when these... And we have to get approval by the federal government to do these reforms. I'm not sure they're likely to do it, but we'll see. I'm hoping they will. And even if they don't approve them, the Medicaid expansion will end, but the reforms will stay in place.
Okay, we have another caller. We have John Hollins, Northside, on the phone. Go ahead, John.
Amanda, on this Obamacare deal with this Michigan... $300,000+. If you don't know what's in it or what it's all about, why do you vote for it? You ought to know what you're voting for before you vote for something. Yes or no, if it's good or bad.
John, are you talking about Obamacare or the Medicaid expansion?
Medicaid expansion.
Oh, I did realize what I was voting for.
Pardon?
I did realize what I was voting for, and I understood the legislation.
But you just said that you didn't know some of the details. You just said that on the radio.
I'm sorry. I must have misspoken. I understand it.
You do understand it.
I do.
Well, what are we going to do 3 or 4 years from now when the federal government does not send that money this way? How are we going to pay for it? Raise taxes again?
Well, for the first 3 years of the program, the federal government, and that's you and I, will fund it completely. And then we cut down to 90% of funding come from the federal government. The governor has proposed a plan to take 10% of the monies that would go for that 10% and set it aside for the next 3 years so that when that bill comes due, we will have enough money to pay for that 10% lapse of the funding.
Do we know how much that cost, our 10%, what would that be per year? Do we have any idea on that?
I do not know that number right now.
Okay, is there any truth? Now, I heard this, of course, emails fly around, you never know whether they're true or not, but there was a deal made by the governor to go ahead and pass this for an exchange for $300 million to rebuild Detroit. You heard anything about that?
I have not.
You have not. Okay, caller, did that answer your question? Are you still on? Or?
Yeah, I'm still on. When you set aside money... That's going to take money away from some other important subject, like the governor's trying to do. Is that ethical and in sound government? You tell me.
Well, the governor approaches this very, I think, with a fiscal hat in mind. He does set aside funding as a kind of a savings account, and that's what it is. He's looking for savings that we can accumulate, so when the federal funding goes to 90%, we will have that pot of money set aside.
Only if you have a surplus, then you can afford it. But we don't know that in the future. So you're doing something in the blind here. Thank you.
I appreciate your call. Just on that issue, my opinion was probably different than many because I've been a social and fiscal conservative for a long time, is that the federal government will not have the money to pay for this in the future. I looked at it as a hook to try to get us in, and once you're in, then you have to continue to do what the federal government tells you to do. And I look at it as states' rights issue as well. So, again, Tom voted against it. She voted for it. I would have voted against it. However, again, I saw the entitlement programs in the state of Michigan under Department of Human Services and how out of control they were. And I was just amazed at some of the waste, fraud, and abuse. And just the fact that I gave just a little bit of money, $200,000, to an investigator that he said he needed to hire a few more people. I got a $10 million rebate back on that because he caught so many people that were abusing the entitlement system. We have Jerry from Zealand. You're on.
Yeah, see, first of all, I'd like to thank you both for being conservative and watching out for our money and other issues.
You're welcome.
Like the Sharia law. But one of the issues that I'd like to raise is that in regard to the preschool education.
Yes.
The state constitution mandates that we as taxpayers support education and fund it. But it doesn't say anything about doing that for preschool. In fact, it might not even say that about kindergarten. So, you know, we're being stretched. Our dollars are being taken in and to promote this stuff. The preschool, not that it's bad, I'm not saying it's bad or anything, and the studies, whatever they are. But, you know, why are we being asked to pay more for this, and you guys are not saying no?
Thank you for the question. I appreciate it. The funding for the preschool program has come from the K-12 budget, and so the governor, you know, puts forth a budget, and that was part of that budget. It did not take any further expenditures from other areas.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, too, the Constitution specifies what's going to be funded. And it says specifically education to 12th grade, I'm assuming. But it doesn't say we have to even fund college educations. But now you're expanding it. I don't care what the budget, the governor's budget has. He has to abide by the dictates of the Constitution of the state. He's not allowed to go like Obama and do whatever he likes.
I would agree with you on that one. We need to take a break here. Let's just take a break here after this call, and then if you want to stay on the line, ask a couple more questions, you may, but we're going to take a break right now. Thank you. This is WHDC Holland Hometown Station, 1450. This is Dave Ajima sitting in for Juke Vanoss at your Holland Hometown Station, 1450 WHTC. We have Cheryl from Mattawan on the phone. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would like to talk to Amanda about the Medicaid expansion.
You're on.
I was totally against this, and I'm just amazed that so many Republicans voted for it. It is not part of the Republican Party platform to vote for bigger government and welfare. This is part of our welfare program. And studies have shown that people are going to be a lot worse off on this than if they had no insurance at all. I know that was the reason a lot of Republicans were using, and it just doesn't hold water. There were at least 9 out of 17, I think, of the GOP districts in Michigan, congressional districts or parties had passed resolutions against this. It's not free market. It's a Democratic thing, and I'd like to know how she can defend her vote on that.
Amanda, go ahead.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. As I said earlier in the beginning of the program, I'm a breast cancer survivor, and one of the things I learned in the course of my lifetime is that I have to be very proactive about my health care. And that meant, because of my mom's diagnosis, that I, for instance, have to have yearly mammogram checks. That is one of the pieces that's built into the Medicaid reform bill that we passed. So there's more accountability for the individual's personal responsibility. They have to contribute to the Medicaid costs. They have health savings accounts. And that piece is alone very substantial for me, but I also thought it was a cost savings because these folks will end up being on some form of Obamacare, and the costs that we were seeing at that time makes the Medicaid piece less expensive than what we were seeing for the Obamacare individual categories. So those were two two of the main reasons. I really like the reforms in it, but in addition, even if the federal government doesn't grant the waivers that are in the bill, those reforms will stay in place for the Medicaid population.
You have another question there, caller?
Well, just to reply, like I've said, people are worse off on government health care, and the Republicans in Michigan should be standing against Obamacare, not helping to enforce that this was part of Obamacare, and Kathleen Sebelius was twisting Snyder's arm to pass this. And people are never better off on a government program. Free market always works better. And if you really had compassion for people with breast cancer and other things, you would find free market solutions. There's a lot of doctors out there who are going to free market and not taking Medicare, or because they don't make any money off of it. So I still think there's no excuse for any Republican to vote for this, and it's unaffordable. Dave is right. We are not going to get the money from the federal government because they do not have the money.
Well, thank you for your call, and I appreciate your comments.
Yeah, I talked to some of my doctors that I go to because I've had four back surgeries myself and many issues from flying airplanes and so forth. Basically, the doctors are complaining now that the stuff's only going to pay. Medicaid only pays 47% of what the physicians get from their private insurance companies, and only about 30% of what the cost of providing and what they provide. So a lot of the doctors I know that are older say they might even get out because they don't even like the idea of Obamacare and the expansion of Medicaid, and they won't take more Medicaid people. We have another caller coming up here in just a moment. But is there anything, any other question you have, caller?
We got an anonymous caller, doesn't want to give a name out, but you're on 1450 WHTC. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. It is my understanding now that Obama is going to be helping to bail out Detroit out of their mess. And I have a feeling that it is because of Debbie Stabenow and the two Lovins being in both, in all three are Democrats from that area. And it is also my understanding that I heard over the grapevine that even Jennifer Granholm has made a pitch to President Obama on behalf of Detroit. Is it possible for Governor Snyder to say thanks, but no thanks? Because Detroit got, my feeling is, Detroit got themselves into this mess. They should get themselves out of it.
Well,
and be creative on ways of raising the funds.
I happen to agree with you. It is a city that is in a world of hurt, and they got themselves in that situation themselves. I do not like the federal government coming in, I think it was a week ago Friday, and offering up incentives for them because I think it just confuses the creditors of the city and offers a different incentive for the people of Detroit. And so I agree with you.
Amanda, maybe you can answer this question. If, like when Detroit goes bankrupt, they go bankrupt and the bondholders are holding bonds. Can you explain to the people who pays for that when they go bankrupt? Doesn't the rest of the state pay for that? We're on the hook.
We're on the hook, but we're on the hook for Detroit already. And Dave probably knows this as well. We have statutory revenue sharing right now for cities and villages in state of Michigan. And Detroit gets 58% of that money right now.
Right.
So, and they only are 7% of the population of the state.
Did you hear that, caller? They get 57% of all that money. And the rest of all the cities get what's remaining. And yet they cannot make it. I think you're right on. It's total incompetence with the way they ran their government. And, of course, you had some of their mayors and so forth that nobody got a contract unless, of course, you gave him money. And then you got your contract. So, but in any case, it's been an interesting conversation. I'd like to thank Amanda for coming. We didn't get to all her issues. She had a lot of other issues like Big Red and the retaining wall and Common Core resolution and so forth. But we're going to go ahead and have a CBS News at the top of the hour every hour. This is 1450 WHCC, your Holland's hometown station with Dave Agemo. Have a good day.